Hallelujah.
It's a lot of fun to dress up, isn't it? I mean, we don't really, especially in the Northwest, I don't feel like we dress up that much. I mean, some of y'all do dress up often and you stand out and it's amazing. But it's fun to have a special occasion and just get dressed up a little bit. Can we do that in the Pacific Northwest? Is that okay? I think it's okay. I think we should keep doing it. You guys all look amazing in your lovely suits and jackets and dresses and ties. And here we are. Well, I'm Pastor Joshua. I'm delighted to bring you the word today. I'm going to start with prayer, and we're going to just jump right in on this Resurrection Sunday. Father in heaven, I want to thank you, first of all, for the reason why we're here, which is that you came, that you died, that you rose again. And now we're here because we believed in you. I thank you for those that are here that may not believe in you yet, but they're open, they're curious, they're desiring to know what is true and right. And I pray that you'd help me to do justice to the reality of your word and as a witness of your life for those that are here and are searching. For those of us that are already following you, I pray that this word today would empower us and strengthen us so we would have all the more resolve to receive the love that you've given us and to give out of that love. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. We're going to begin with Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 20, and this is the account of Jesus. One of four, because there's four Gospels, and they've all got a little bit different coloring to them. But here we go. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. There was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards were so shaken by fear of him that they became like dead men. And the angel told the women, "Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go and quickly tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead, and indeed he's going ahead of you to Galilee, and you will see him there. Listen, I've told you." So, departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news. And just then, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." They came up, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. And then Jesus told them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." As they were on their way, some of the guards came into the city, and they reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. And after the priests had assembled with the elders and agreed on a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money and told them, "Say this, his disciples came during the night and stole him while we were sleeping. If this reaches the governor's ears, we'll deal with him and keep you out of trouble." They took the money and they did as they were instructed. And this story has been spread among Jewish people to this day. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Amen. As I was preparing to share with you this week, there's something about these high holidays that maybe you feel this pressure when you're providing and building a beautiful meal, putting together everything, buying the groceries, and you're going to invite all the family, and you're hoping that everybody comes, right, to Easter dinner. Maybe you're having ham if you're saved, or maybe you're having barbecue chicken if you're not, which at my house we're having barbecue chicken because my daughters don't like ham. Just pray for them. I don't know. What is even happening? But at any rate, you're putting together the meal and you're wanting for things to go well. You're wanting for that moment to come together in such a way that really that it validates the reality and the love that your family has one for another. That's solidarity, that unity, that connection point. And you feel that. You feel that desire because there's something about bringing the family together that all's right with the world, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? And I want to tell you that we as pastors, when we're preparing a word on these high holidays, I mean, we put our heart into it every Sunday, I promise. But there is something about knowing, you know, this is a big day. You invite some of your extended families. Maybe some of you don't normally worship on Sundays, and this is one of those Sundays that you come to. And we really honor that. We really value that and seek to prepare a meal that will satisfy you and prepare a time together that validates the reality of who God is and what he's done for us and validates the effort that you've put in to show up, that you would come and go, oh my goodness, I do want to be a part of what God is doing. I do want to be a part of the family of God. And there's a certain sense of pressure that can come on you. But I think there's a reason for that. And I think the reason why that happens is because it is real and it is true and it is the gravity that God's desire and his design was that he created all of us. And his desire is that we would be his family. He's already our father. He's already our creator. But only we get to decide to choose whether or not we want to be a part of his family. You are certainly welcomed, but only you can decide if you want to be adopted. Are you with me? And as I was praying through this week, I just had that sense of how utterly powerless Joshua Rivas is to make true the things that are true, to make matter the things that matter. And as I was kind of tying myself up in knots a little bit, then I realized, what am I doing right now? I'm almost acting as if I put on a good enough performance for y'all. If I made the points of emphasis at the correct space in my talk, then maybe your hearts would bleed a little and your eyes would moisten and you'd be softened and you'd turn to the Lord and good things would happen. And then I realized, Josh, you are completely missing how this even works right now. What are you thinking, buddy? Because even if I did that, it wouldn't make the reality of who Christ is, what he's done, his love for you and what he's offering in his kingdom because of the Father's love. It wouldn't change it one bit. Whether I do an amazing job today or whether I do a mediocre job today, one will be more fun for you. But neither of them will mean any less power or redemption or love from our Father shown through Jesus Christ. Can you receive that? And it began to dawn on me, you know what I am? You know what I get to be? The same thing that all of us get to be if we so choose, and that is that I get to be a son who has been adopted by my Father, our Creator, through the access that's been given to me through my big brother, my Messiah and my Lord, Jesus Christ. And I get to come to you not as something special in the sense of as though, again, that the words that I speak because of the way that I speak them make that any more or less true, but because I am a witness of those things that are true. And what is true? That God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in him. His love for us is so great. In another place it says that in the fullness of time, while we were yet his enemy, Christ died for us. And you and I, in one way or another, at one time or another, we choose whether we want to be his friend or whether we want to be his enemy, whether we want to be going towards the kingdom or we want to be going away from the kingdom. That is wholly and solely and fully and wonderfully, and by the way, your journey is wholly unto the Lord, up to you. You get to decide. But Christ, I'll have you know, already decided And his decision was, my life for yours. And your death, I'll take that. If you so desire. If you so desire. One of the great desires of human life, I believe, and I think you'd agree with me, the great desires that we have is certainty. We want to be certain of whatever it is that we can be certain of. Is anybody with me? Right? You don't want to just be lollygagging around being like, I don't know, probably. You know, you want to marry me? Are you going to be faithful? Probably. Yeah, it's good. You going to pay your rent? Nah. See how the day goes. We want to be certain. We want to be certain about finances. We want to be certain about our housing. We want to be certain about freedom. How many of you know that freedom is a gift that God wants to give us and it's important to him? We want to be certain that we have it. We want to be certain that we extend it for others, right? That's important. Safety. We want to be certain about safety. We want to be certain about food. Come on. We're going to be eating today, God willing. We want to be certain about education and laws. We want to be certain about truth, life and death. These are important things, and the desire that we have is that we would be certain of those things of which we need to be certain about. We seek to have stability. We have our needs met. And when things threaten that, the reactions are varied, but usually when somebody threatens some of those things that we want to put our certainty in, we have some responses to that. They may be varied depending on how you're wired. They may be in different orders for each of us, but they usually involve anger. Somebody's messing with my food. Start with the important stuff. Denial, fear. We see these things being threatened, these things that are important. What is true? Where is safety? Where is freedom? Who will protect my freedom? Who will protect my life? Who will make sure that I have housing and that I can afford it? And we look around for a certainty in that. And when those things get threatened, we have different responses. And then what do? We begin to pause. We have all of those very real responses. And then we begin to look towards longingly something or someone that can give me certainty again. When those things get to shaking, we start looking around. Are you gonna do it? Are you gonna protect me? Are you gonna make sure I have a job? The gas is pretty high right now. You got me? Right? We have that very real thing. And the question for that is, so who do we look to for certainty? Who are we to look to? Is it yourself? Who do you guys look to? When certainty gets shook, what do you think? Well, I'm pretty strong. I could figure this out. I could Google how to farm if food starts being a situation. I could probably do a little backyard gardening thing. I don't know. I could grow a tomato or two. Is it an elected person? So-and-so. Vote for so-and-so. They'll make your dreams come true. A chicken in every pot. You know, where are you looking? Is it diversion? Maybe we just go, you know what? I don't even want to think about it. Let me just get the Google. Just distract myself for a while. Is it education? Is it money? Is it power? Where do you and I look for certainty? And I would say probably we do a little mixture of all of that. And there's nothing wrong for us to want to have certainty in our life. The question is, where do I actually find it? What is it that can handle the weight of my certainty? And I'd like to suggest none of those things I just listed can handle the full weight of our certainty. No matter how kind or good or whatever that person or you or the stuff you got is, it still isn't enough to truly handle the weight that is needed for us to have confidence, to have certainty. And as long as our certainty is resting on any of those things that are not worthy of it, then we will be restless. We will be unstable. We will be insecure. We will be continually searching. There will be that sense of free-floating anxiety and anger towards those that we feel are threatening the things in which we've put our certainty. Are you guys tracking with me so far? Are you having fun? Isn't this so encouraging? Like, oh, wow. Can I nominate Jason for preaching next Easter? Don't tell me that. It hurt my feelings. He does such a good job. Such a good job. I love being teamed up with Jason. I want to say this. You know where I'm going with this. You know where I'm going with this. There is truly none that is worthy of our certainty but Jesus, the firstborn among the dead. He is above circumstance. He is both with us in the circumstance, and he is also seated at the right hand of God. And the word says he'll remain seated at the right hand of God in the kingdom until all of his enemies have been made his footstool. Let me tell you something, guys. You are in good hands. And Jesus Christ, our Lord and Messiah, is on the throne, reigning over all things. Let me remind you what he just said in Matthew 28. He said this, verse 18. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and..." Pretty good news, huh? How many of you forgot that it said on earth? I think it's pretty easy for us to think about God reigning in heaven. We have a very dualistic view here in the earth. I think a lot of us are almost functional Gnostics in our faith, where it's like, yeah, I prayed a prayer and someday I'll go to heaven. And in the meantime, I'll just try to survive. Anybody enjoying that semi-hopeful gospel? But Jesus has said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, as you go, make disciples of all nations. Let me show you again about this Jesus in whom we are certain. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. I love this. "Now I want to make clear to you, brothers and sisters, the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand." I want you to just say, "on which I've taken my stand." Yeah, you did. "And by which you are being saved, if you hold to the message I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to over 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Most of them are still alive, but some have fallen asleep." At the time of this writing, most of the 500 people that had seen Jesus were still alive. These are witnesses that saw Jesus walking around and touched him and hugged him and ate food with him. He wasn't an apparition. He wasn't a ghost. He wasn't a legend. He wasn't a myth. He was Jesus, born again with a new body, having died and been risen up, which shows that he is our Messiah and Lord. He's the firstborn from the dead. He was raised up, and because he was raised up, we have the faith that we have. Let me keep unpacking it. But these witnesses, when this was written, they had seen him. This wasn't a secret thing that was done somewhere later that turned into a myth. These are the witnesses. "Then he appeared to over 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Most of them are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one born at the wrong time," this is Paul writing, "he also appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, and yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me." Listen to this. "Whether then it is I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have believed." So what do we believe? That Jesus Christ died and was raised again. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, skipping to the end of this chapter, 51 through 48. Listen, I'm telling you a mystery. We will not all fall asleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible body must be clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal body must be clothed with immortality. When this corruptible body is clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal body is clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written will take place. Where, death, is your victory? Where, death, is your sting? Death itself, at a certain point, is going to die. And everyone in Christ, we will continue to live on forever. This is the confidence. This is the certainty that we have. I want you all to remember this. Until we have Christ, we're already on our way to death. Is that a surprise to anyone? That's the natural way of things. But because Christ was raised again and was given a new body, those of us that are in Christ know that we certainly will receive a new body. We certainly will reign forever. We certainly will continue on with the great work of redemption that God is involved in. And that redemption begins not later, but now. That God, He has called us to carry this hope, to carry this certainty, even right now. Easter wasn't just the day that Christ was raised from the dead. Easter was the day that the kingdom of heaven came in full authority to earth. It was the inauguration of the new kingdom. What does the Lord's Prayer say? There it is. Gold star on his chart. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth . There's, we're so used to this, we almost forget the gravity of what it is that we're engaged in. The desire I have for us today on this Easter, and I believe it's God's desire for us, is that we become fully confident and certain in the reality of where you are right now, extending his kingdom today. Completely unimpressed by all leaders, by all circumstances, by all particular moments, because they all come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Our certainty is in the fullness that God will come and finish the great work. But when he does that, he's not going to take us up into heaven. It says that he will make a new heaven and a new earth, and God will dwell among men. This is important for us to catch, that he's inaugurated this new kingdom, because we have to take the fullness of what Jesus did as the firstborn among many and begin to apply that to how we are living out that kingdom today. And to the extent that we're being, why is this important about the death piece? The reason why this is connected to the confidence that we have is that we're no longer afraid of death. That we're no longer worried about our life being wasted because Jesus is Lord of all. Are you with me? He is actually extending his kingdom right now. We're not waiting for him to come and then the work begins. He is extending the kingdom through you right now where you are. I'm going to read you a quote from N.T. Wright. Because of the early Christian belief in Jesus as Messiah, we find the development of the very early belief that Jesus is Lord, and therefore, Caesar is not. The resurrection of Jesus and then of his future people is the foundation of the Christian stance of allegiance to a different king and a different Lord. Death is the last weapon of the tyrant. And the point of the resurrection is that despite much misunderstanding, death has been defeated. Resurrection is not the redescription of death. It is its overthrow. And with that, the overthrow of those whose power depends on it. Who depends on the fear of death? The enemy and tyrants. If you and I are not afraid of death, then like early Christians, it doesn't matter what circumstances come, we remain certain in what it is that we're doing as we love God with all of our heart and love our neighbor as he loves them. We are never, ever overwhelmed or overcome, regardless of who's in office, regardless of who's a king, regardless of whether we're at war or whether we're at peace, no matter what's happening, our certainty is that Jesus Christ has been given all authority. And therefore, as we go, we make disciples of all nations, teaching them to do what he's commanded. Our stance doesn't change. Our mood doesn't change. Our confidence doesn't change. No matter what's going on around you, our call is completely certain that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, and therefore we are raised from the dead. And therefore we are completely and absolutely convinced that everything will work for our good. And he'll complete the good work when he comes. But our peace, our confidence, our rest is that Jesus is working and will continue to work. Can you receive that? This morning, my prayer for us is that God would open up the eyes of our understanding, that we would remember the gravity of who Jesus is. And because of your belief in him, and because you are born again, who you are in him. You are carrying the hope of the nations in the place where you work. You are carrying the hope of the nations in the place where you play. You are carrying the hope of the nations right now in this current moment. And nothing can shake the reality of what God is bringing. And I believe this morning what God wants to release in us is a fresh hope that can come only through the power of his Holy Spirit. I believe that right now the greatest attack that the enemy has brought against us is that we're consistently distracted by the momentary afflictions of this world. We're consistently distracted by all of the whether it's political climate or whether it's the actual climate, whether it's fuel prices, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's the uprising or wars. These things are all things that will be a part of this earth until God finishes the work, but it doesn't change the certainty of what we have and what he's called you to do. And this morning, my prayer is that wherever you are, that if it were possible, I guess I would say it like this, that you and I would be renewed in our inspiration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I kind of think that we need to be surprised by the resurrection again. I kind of feel like we need to come to the tomb because a lot of us are just sort of like, oh man, yeah, Jesus came a long time ago and I'm hoping he comes again. And in the meantime, we're just kind of slogging it out, right? You're just like, I don't even know how this is supposed to work anymore. And I believe that this morning what the Lord wants to do is he wants to sort of wake us up. If you recall where he appears to them and says, and they're like, duh! And he goes, don't be afraid. It's me, Jesus. I raised from the dead. And I think the Lord wants us, as it were, to sort of wake up and realize, wait a minute, Jesus raised from the dead. The kingdom is advancing. The things that I'm involved in matter, and everything that I do, I will be rewarded for and will extend the kingdom here on earth until he renews the rest of earth. And so this morning, that's our prayer for us, is that God would even, I'm just gonna pray it. Can I do that? Can I do that? Okay. And if, yeah, just, let's just pray this together. And if you agree with this prayer, say amen. And if you don't, pray that I'll get saved. Lord, this morning, my desire, and I believe it's your desire, God, is that everyone that's in this room, that Lord, as it were, you would refresh our vision to see you as you are, to see the kingdom as it is, to see the hope that you have placed in us for the redemption of this earth, that we would be engaged with extending your kingdom, Lord, through the hope that we carry, through the words of encouragement that we bring, through the generosity of our lives, through the skillful application of the gifts that you've given us, through acts of justice and mercy, through acts of truth, Lord, that each of us would be restored in our call as ambassadors of your kingdom now. Jesus, you told us to pray, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Your will done on earth as it is in heaven. God, show us how to stop praying that you would take us to heaven. You've asked us to pray that heaven would come to earth. So for my brothers and sisters this morning, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the commissioning of Jesus Christ, our Messiah and Lord, I ask God, would you refresh in us the reality of your resurrection? You are the firstborn of many. God, renew us in the call as the many. I bless you, every saint in this house, in the name of Jesus Christ. I bless you that you would submit yourself to the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee. I bless you in those places where sin has crept in and entangled you in one way or another, that you be set free in Jesus' name, because whom Christ has set free is free indeed. I bless you, those that are afflicted by the enemy, by spirits of anxiety, of fear, of anger, of greed, lust, or shame, in the name of Jesus Christ, and greed, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command those enemies to depart from you right now. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would dwell in the places where the enemy has been present and afflicting you, that those rooms in your house will be filled with a fresh fire of the Holy Spirit, a fresh love from our God. I bless your families, that your children and your children's children would walk with the Lord. I bless your health, that you would be able to serve God uninhibited. And if for a time you are walking in suffering as Christ is formed through that suffering, let it be so. Let it be so. And may you receive every blessing that God's giving you in the midst of suffering. And may you have the wisdom and the patience and the forbearance to be able to say, Lord, even so, I trust in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be here today, and maybe you haven't yet decided to follow Christ. And I want to make an opportunity for those that might be here today, or you may be here today and you realize you'd like to get back to it. So if either of those are you, we have a slide here. This is Romans 10. We just want to have an opportunity to respond before we head out for more cinnamon rolls and hopefully ham dinners if you're blessed. But Romans 10 says this. But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that's the invitation. And we have a prayer here that summarizes this a little bit. I'd like to bring it up, and I'm just going to read through it. And then if you want to read this again, I'm going to read it again,
But I want you to think about this because you know what? We don't have to do any high pressure. The Lord is good and he's been carrying you along. So as he speaks to you, if this is something you'd like to pray today and begin a relationship with him, we want to make that opportunity, or perhaps you want to return to following him. Here's the prayer. Jesus, today I'm ready to turn to you. I no longer want to be the Lord of my life. I declare, Jesus, you are the Lord. I believe that you died for the sins of the whole world, which includes my sins. And I believe that God raised you from the dead. I ask for your forgiveness for my sins. I'm ready to learn from you. As you lead me, I will follow you. Starting right now, I'm yours. So if that's something that you'd like to pray for the first time, or perhaps you'd like to return to the Lord, we're going to pray this together. And if that's something you want to do, awesome. Here we go. Let's pray this together for those of you that would like to. Jesus, today, I'm ready to turn to you. I no longer want to be the Lord of my life. I declare, Jesus, you are the Lord. I believe that you died for the sins of the whole world, which includes my sins. And I believe that God raised you from the dead. I ask for your forgiveness for my sins. I'm ready to learn from you. As you lead me, I will follow you. Starting right now, I'm yours. Amen. Now, if you prayed that for the first time, we want to give you a Bible. We bought some really nice CSB leather-bound Bibles as a gift. And so if that's you and you're a brave soul, everybody loves to be in public. If you'd like to raise your hand, Uli's going to grab that Bible and bring it to you. Is there anybody here that decided to pray that for the first time and started to follow Jesus for the first time back here? Come on, let's go. Hallelujah. Just keep your hand up. And all right, Uli's turning around. Brother, right back here. That's awesome. It says that when one person is saved, all of the angels and saints in heaven stop and rejoice. All the angels, man. All the saints. Let's go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. How exciting is that? And it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. If you just prayed that today too, I want to invite you to come to the restoration class that's coming up here on the 22nd. That'll be a great time for us to walk through as you're beginning to follow Christ. So Misty and Joey are going to be hosting that at 954 Laurel here on the 22nd. So I invite you to that. Is there anyone else that decided to follow Christ today that we missed? All right. Well, praise God. All right. Well, Uli's going to be at the back. If you did pray, but you didn't want to raise your hand, you can just go whisper it in Uli's ear. But I'll have you know all of heaven did rejoice. All right. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you favor and shalom. God bless you guys. Happy Easter.